Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today.
On this episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show, we talk about two post-operative techniques. We talk about how a posterior lateral corner reconstruction could impact your ACL progression. And we talk about a superior capsular repair for an irreparable massive rotator cuff repair. That was a big one.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show. We're up at Champion PT and Performance up in Boston, Mass. Lenny Macrina, Dan Pope, Dave Tilley, Mike Scaduto. A little different there, right? Getting there. We have our awesome students here to ask us some awesome questions from our awesome listeners. I feel like I'm at an Apple event right now. We have an amazing podcast.
This is the best version of the Mike podcast ever.
This is an amazing episode here. It's going to be so much better. So we have Adam Pizzow.
Pizzow.
I like it. Maybe, that's what we should do for him.
Pizzow, 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 Pizzow.
Well, no, then it's like it goes down the line. Everybody knows a different one.
And then kapow, boom,
wait, bang. Wait. All right, ready? Everybody get their phrase? Yep. Everybody get their exclamation, ready? Yep. Adam Pizzow.
Ka-ping!
Classic episode, right? Thanks, Adam. That's good stuff. He is from NIT, the New York Institute of Technology.
That's Monty Python, man.
Is it? NIT. He's
also
from
Russian for no.
That's NIT.
That's good. That's actually a good point. That's in there. But yeah, physical therapy, the tech side of physical therapy. We have Andrew K-Bomb Kirschbaum from Oakland University.
As you guys can see, it's November. Ish in this podcast filming, so yes.
Yeah. I must ask you a question.
Terrible decision on K-Bob. I don't know if anyone can zoom in on his face right now, but yeah, good one.
That was good.
And then obviously, fan favorite, everybody's favorite, Brian Winks Winkler here for another awesome episode. So who wants to take it away?
I'll go ahead.
Huzzah!
Hi, ready, crew. I just got my first post-op ACL and posterior lateral corner reconstruction case. From the research I've done, it seems that PLC dictates the rate at which we progress through exercises. Any helpful advice or resources would be appreciated.
All right, so this is an interesting one. ACL post-op with a posterior lateral corner, which is certainly more complicated.
Give it to the student.
Let the student figure that one out. Before Lenny, we can let you answer this one, obviously. But before we get into that, like, have you ever seen an ACL with a posterior lateral corner in isolation?
No, I mean, like, it's usually like other stuff going on.
PCL or LCL?
Yeah, usually.
It's kind of hard, right?
It's usually like all gone.
I don't want to say like never, but
yeah,
like.
Maybe you didn't give us the whole.
That's like a 300-pound lineman fell on your leg and tore through it all.
To get an anterior tibial translation and a posterior lateral, that has to be like a huge hyperextension, but a hyperextension lateral kind of movement there. It'd be really hard to not dislocate like ACL, PCL, and do LCL. Yeah. So, you know, that's my first thing that jumped out is this is complicated, and this may be more complicated than even that.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, am I off on that just before you even answer?
No, I mean, hearing the question too, I would assume there's more to it, but maybe not. So I can't assume, I guess. But usually there's a PCL component. Usually there's a meniscus component too, just because of the rotation and the sharing that had gone on. So I think just taking a step back and thinking about the anatomy that's involved, because you got to protect those structures, right? So you got LCL, which I would assume was involved. At some aspect, maybe it's just a grade 2 sprain, but still it's involved. You have popliteus. That's probably involved. You have probably maybe some form of the biceps, lateral biceps that might be involved. So I've seen that. So you got to respect that. Yeah, not that biceps. You got to respect that soft tissue healing. So how I would treat it would be obviously by your doc, but you got to respect that hyperextension. So I wouldn't push hyperextension because of the popliteus component and that kind of the screw home mechanism. that's involved with it. I'd also be cautious of lateral leg raises, like abduction, because of the LCL and the lateral stretches. So you got to be cautious with that. And you also got to watch. It's probably limited weight bearing too, I would imagine. If not, you may want to just be cautious of that because of the weight bearing with a rotational component to it could do something to the healing stretches. And I'd probably hold that for a few weeks easily. Some docs would wait 6 weeks for weight bearing, I've seen as well, but
completely, even with like a brace locked and extension.
Yes, but I don't agree with it. So brace should be locked in extension. You should be able to do quad sets. I'd still be cautious. I used to put something under somebody's knee to prevent that hyperextension early on. I don't want to lose hyperextension, but I also don't want to get into deep hyperextension. So I'd be cautious with that. Patella mobs. And that first 6 weeks, just kind of go easy. Range of motion should be to relative tolerance, although getting into deeper amounts of flexion may stress some of those posterior lateral structures. I'd be a little cautious with that, but you should be able to get 90 degrees for the first 2 weeks.
Could you do above the knee joint? That's a question. Could you do above the knee joint, like resistance bands and like manual stuff, if you want to maintain abduction? You know, same thing that we go like above the road for a humeral cuff thing?
I got you.
I don't know if that'd be possible.
Probably.
Yeah,
you
probably
can get creative.
I'd still,
that way.
I'd still delay the, yeah, even just like the gravity,
right,
of it or the position.
Yeah,
of
you
it.
Could do isometrics.
And don't forget too, I think there's it's a rotary torque that has, right, something to do with,
right,
it too. It's not just like it's not, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not just straight lateral.
So I mean, yeah,
everything's delayed a little bit.
Everything, you know, is delayed.
Bigger
let
deal.
Yeah, you don't want them to get, and especially if it's a younger female. I don't know what the demographics are, but females are gonna get looser in those structures than guys, just in general. I feel like, so you got to be cautious with that. So just ligaments in general just, you know, tend to loosen up laterally. Probably not as much swelling and stiffness as if there was a medial side issue. So your range of motion oftentimes comes back relatively easy, but I agree that the ACL component is not going to be as limiting as the posterior lateral corner component.
You're gonna slow it down a little bit. It's,
yeah,
probably gonna be slowed down, give or take, like at least 2 weeks. I'd say an advanced,
right,
level athlete.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised just being a couple weeks.
Right,
I can see in the general pop, like, you know, 4 week kind of like slow down with some of those precautions in there.
Right,
you know, I think it would be, you know, pretty solid. So. Yeah, have fun with that one.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
That's a fun one.
You know, so it's good to see different ones.
Put it in the memory bank. Do some research on it, and then you are the person.
So random
for that.
But Terry Malone's course on MedBridge is extremely helpful for that. I took that.
Oh, really?
I had a really complex knee, and he goes to like all the different structures testing, posterior,
nice,
lateral, anterior,
yeah,
rotary.
Yeah.
I was like, I had never even knew this existed, so it was really helpful.
Yeah, no, Terry's awesome. And so I would just say, like, I would also reach out to the doc if I were you.
Yeah,
and
just over communicate.
There could be a big PCL, you know,
yeah,
sprain, and you remember too that PCLs don't always do well if you reconstruct them, so oftentimes they don't. So if they have some posterior laxity, that's also going to probably change.
Right, yeah,
right?
Get the op report so you have all the,
yeah,
information. Look at the meniscus, look at joint structure, like articular cartilage structures. How was that? Because it sounds like it was a pretty,
right,
good injury, so there's probably some bruising going on, bone bruising going on the joint, and anything else. I would get,
yeah,
as much information as possible.
Articular cartilage.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
great, Boston.
Lanny. Awesome, good question. What's next?
All right, Dom in Cincinnati. Hey, Mike. A few orthosurgeons our practice works with closely are starting to perform superior glenohumeral capsular reconstructions as an alternative to massive rotator cuff repairs. Some protocols indicate rehab similar to a standard rotator cuff repair with immediate passive motion as tolerated, while others are decelerated and limit cuff strengthening until 4 to 5 months. What are your initial thoughts on how they should be progressed with rehab?
Yeah, that's the
definitely
Dom, right?
My wheelhouse.
That's
no idea.
I like the way Dom, right? Not Don. Dom. I like the way Dom really spelled that out a little bit, because that's actually a good point right here. So superior capsular reconstruction, so shoulder joint. Remember, this is for a massive rotator cuff repair. That kind of tells you everything.
Yeah.
This is from an irreparable massive rotator cuff repair. So I've been speaking at a bunch of physician-based conferences this last year. Too many, to be honest with you. No offense. We've talked about this quite a bit at some of these conferences and using this here. So I believe the technique was developed in Japan. And the funny part that I learned, I didn't realize this here, I think it was developed because it's something along the lines like they can't do reverse shoulders or something in Japan.
I think that's the story, yeah.
There's something about that. I remember somebody talked about that in one of their presentations. Was that at this course this weekend too?
Yeah.
So they did that as a way instead of doing it. But realize this is the spectrum of a massive, irreparable rotator cuff repair. right? So this is, that tells you a lot about like the, where the status of this person's tissue quality and stuff like that. So this isn't certainly anybody that you're accelerating to really like go through fast and rehab. This is like a salvage procedure, right? If you have osteoarthritis, I'm pretty sure you're probably going to get a total shoulder at this point with that type of person. And you could do things like the reverse total shoulder as well, or this type of thing. So this is new, right? They're using like a scaffold almost. It's like, you know, I think they used to use more autograft tissue like TFL and stuff like that. But I think now they have quite a bit of allograft tissue that they can use from. But they're putting that superiorly. And think about it. So what's happening is they're trying to prevent superior humeral migration, because that's what, you know, with a rotator cuff tear, over time as partial tears get worse and worse and worse, you get more and more superior migration, and it just keeps wearing down on the rotator cuff. It wears down, right? Whoa, wait, did we just talk biomechanical and how it relates to pathology? Yeah, no. It does, right? So, I mean, pretty clear, if you have a partial rotator cuff tear, you have increased superior migration, and then that translates to complete tears over time. It's just degenerative in nature. So biomechanically, what they're trying to do is put that at the top to prevent that superior humeral migration. And I think, Mike, what'd they say in the conference? Outcomes are decent, right?
Yeah, it definitely does, and it depends. There's a couple of different surgical techniques, but it definitely limits superior migration of the humeral head by like a good amount. I just looked at something this morning. I think it's like almost 200%. Like, wow. After the repair is the limitation.
That's great. So it's good. And functional outcomes, they tend to do well, right? Now remember though, massive irreparable tears. We're talking about older population. We're not talking about people getting back to tennis, you know, and baseball like that. But functionally, I think they get back to their ADLs quite well with this procedure. So who knows? We may start seeing it more. But to answer the question that I think he comes back to, and Len, jump in if you have anything, but like some protocols are, I wouldn't say fast. I think they're just like, you can do some cautious passive range early on. And some are just like, no passive range for 6 weeks and no strengthening times 12 weeks, which is exactly what we're finding, which is the rotator cuff world anyway with the surgeons. Some are uber conservative because for this person, they're such a different functional level that I don't think they're trying to get them back that fast. This is like a salvage procedure. You got to think of it that way. So I don't know. In therapy, I would start doing passive range. I mean, superior capsule reconstruction, I probably wouldn't go past like 90 degrees for like that first, you know, give or take month, maybe 6 weeks, depending on the tissue quality, which is clearly bad. But, you know, I probably wouldn't do that at the beginning. I wouldn't necessarily go full range. But, I mean, I don't know. I probably would do something. I don't know. Len, any thoughts?
I've honestly never treated one of these. I'm definitely intrigued by it. I've tried to do a little research on it and interacted on Twitter with some docs about it. It's, like you guys said, it seems promising. It seems good. I think if I see extremes of doctors, then I tend to go middle of the road and to say probably early motion is probably okay. Because
early limited.
Early limited. Maybe limited. Say, yeah. But I mean, as you go into higher amounts of flexion, are you truly stressing the superior capsule?
What about external rotation?
Like zero, yeah.
External rotation, maybe, but if you bring them out into more degrees of abduction, are you, you know what I mean? If you're out here and do an external rotation, it might not be as stressful as if you were down by the side.
You can argue that's less stressful. That's why they're in an abduction pillow, because they shouldn't do a deduction.
Exactly.
Not abduction.
So
it's true.
I think it's a promising thing, and I think, to answer your question, I don't necessarily know if I agree with the 4 months of no strengthening, but I think Mike said it, that there's so many other factors. There's an irreparable cuff, there's probably fatty infiltration, poor prognosis. Why the rush? But just get their motion back, get their pain under control, and get them functional eventually. You know, you have to hopefully have time with these, although insurance is going to limit you. So
I would agree. And I bet you they have less limitations with range of motion stuff. But I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Certainly not a population we see a ton of here. But you know, but again, from going to these meetings and talking to the docs, it's an option and it seems viable.
Yeah.
It seems like one of those ones. There's just why rush? What is there a rush about? So anyway, good. Great episode. A couple of good post-op questions with some kind of different techniques. I like those. Those are good questions. Keep them coming. Head to MikeRinald.com, click on that podcast link, and you can ask us questions like that. It'd be awesome. Head to iTunes, Spotify, rate, review, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeRinald.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeRinald.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.